And we're back. This is Jim Santel joining you this morning. Thank you for joining me. Connor is also with me in the studio here at WAK Radio in downtown Waukesha. It's the Shaw, 540 AM, 101 FM. Also taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. This is the fifth in our series of discussions, of presentations, of engagements on the United States Supreme Court and what it has done in this past term. In the first segment today, we talked a bit about some of the landmark cases coming out of that court, and finishing up here for the next few moments on a couple of other cases from earlier this year that also animate who we are and what we're going to be as a nation. You may recall well that former President Donald Trump had attempted to block the release of some documents concerning his role in the events of January 6th of 2021 on the executive privilege theory, those grounds. And in a case called Trump versus Thompson, the name of the chair of the January 6th committee, Benny Thompson, the United States Supreme Court ruled way back in January, January 19th, 8-1, with again only Justice Thomas in the minority. The Supreme Court rules that former President Trump could not block the release of those White House records to that House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. I'm going to be talking, of course, more about January 6th this coming week as they have two more hearings. But again, a very relevant case, finding that executive privilege did not prevent the disclosure to that committee of these documents from the administration of President Donald John Trump. And that was, again, Trump versus Thompson. Yet another case that, again, you probably remember well from this past term. This one also in January, January 13th. This one 6-3, right down so-called ideological lines. The so-called conservative blocs voting in support of this result, the so-called liberal bloc voting in opposition to it, a case called National Federation of Independent Business versus Department of Labor, a very long title. This is the vaccination case, the high court finding that the Biden administration, the attempt by the president to impose a vaccine or testing mandate for large employers, large companies, more than 100 employees, that was not lawful, that the president did not have the executive authority to enter that, made some accommodations when it comes to some particular health care workers at facilities receiving federal monies. But with that notable exception, a 6-3 decision turning back the president's attempt to impose a vaccine on companies of more than 100 more employees. That, again, back on January 13th, a 6-3 decision. Again, very important in understanding this relationship between the court and the executive branch. So a brief analysis, a brief review, again, of some of the major cases from the early months and then the most recent days of this term. We're taking your calls. We're going to begin this morning with Mark. Mark, we appreciate your calling in. What's your comment, your question, your thought here on Morning Cannolis?
Yeah, it's interesting that, and thanks again for taking my call, it's interesting that the Supreme Court is ignoring precedent in some of these cases. The religious, the separation of church and state issue that they ignored in the decision and I had to look this one up. I remember that, you know, from history class, you know, Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Church, you know, saying that because they were concerned about being oppressed by the Congregationalists, the Baptists, because there was a lot of religious oppression in our days as the colonies, that there is actually a... There actually is, you know, that the court had, in the 19th century at least, you know, and they had the date. I wasn't familiar with it before, but Reynolds versus the United States of 1879, saying Jefferson's writings on the First Amendment can be taken as what he actually meant when they were writing the Bill of Rights, and how that was, you know, should be interpreted, that. Because it is interesting, you read some good historical fiction. There was a missioner had in his book Chesapeake wrote of a may have drawn this from history of a judge that impregnated his bondservant and had her whipped for being pregnant out of wedlock, and then awarded himself custody of the child when the child was born to be his bondservant. I mean, that's the kind of abuses that our courts had in colonial days. I mean, that's
sure.
the case.
And a lot of those things, Martha, you're chatting about, we're going to chat more about, specifically in connection with prayer. I suspect that may prompt your phone call already this morning. We'll chat more about this case called Bremerton, Kennedy versus Bremerton. We'll chat about that. We'll chat about one more case involving a death row inmate a little bit later on in the program as well. So appreciate all those insights on religion in America. I think you're right that the Supreme Court plainly wrestling with this. Virtually all the cases, as you're indicating, Mark, of recent times in which the Supreme Court's wrestled with the Establishment Clause, the Free Exercise Clause, religion has almost always been the victor, been the successful party, and we'll talk more about that during the course of our time this morning. So, Mark, appreciate your insights and your perspectives, and we'll invite you and others to stay tuned for our further discussion in the next hour, and perhaps in the second hour or two, talking more about school prayer, talking more about the intersection between religion in America and our lives on a regular basis. I want to get back to some other matters that the Supreme Court has also taken up, even since we were together right before the break for the Independence Day holiday. We provided some basic information about the background on some of these cases, but since that time, some major rulings by the United States Supreme Court, not always majorities, not always that is unanimous majorities, not even close, and this is one of those, a 5-4 majority. The Supreme Court ruled right before the Independence Day holiday that the Biden administration could in fact turn back, could rescind a Trump-era immigration policy that forced asylum seekers coming to this nation, seeking asylum from their nations of origin, keeping them awaiting approval or some administration of their candidacy for admission into the United States of America, keeping them in Mexico, sometimes called the Remain in Mexico policy. Chief Justice John Roberts, on behalf of a 5-4 majority, said an immigration law gave the president discretion to return migrants arriving by land into the country from which they came. But that discretion did not amount to an obligation, he significantly said. He went on to say that the use of the word may rather than shall means what it says. May means may. And said that making removal mandatory would require ordering the president to negotiate with Mexico. Very interesting language from the Chief Justice. Judges should not lightly interfere with the president's ability to conduct foreign policy, in a holding that plainly was recognized and appreciated by many human rights lawyers and advocates. And so once again, that case called the Remain in Mexico case, a very important case in our nation's history. We'll talk more about that and other matters coming up in the next segment here on Morning Cannolis.